Praise God. I hope that you have come here expecting something. Some of you went to great effort to walk across the street to come to this meeting or drive a few blocks. I'm going to pick on somebody here because she's come a long ways to be picked on, and I mean, you get take the shot when you get a chance, right? Don't let a good opportunity pass by. Praise God. This young lady here went through more trouble to be in this meeting than any of you. She came all the way from South Africa. And I was in prayer today, and the Lord gave me something, and I hope He'll open my mouth and let me give it to you tonight. But I think you're going to be happy with it. God's got something for you. Things are happening. For years, the Lord had been showing me what was going to be. Many of you have heard some of the stories to the point where you're sick and tired of hearing some of them. Some of them can recite them backwards. But I remember the Lord showing me a vision or whatever you want to call it, and I'm standing on a hill. Y'all want to recite it? I'm standing on this hill, and there are two mountains. And the one mountain had this great path, this great highway leading up to this beautiful golden castle. And across the top of the castle was a banner that said peace, love, joy, happiness. And on the other mountain was a little humble cave. And a little path leading up the cave. And a great valley lay between the two mountains. And people filled the valley. And I heard, as it were, a voice behind say, Son of man, speak unto the people of the valley and command them this day to choose which path they will follow. And I spoke, and as I spoke, the people began to mill around, and I watched, and the people began to walk up this great path to the golden castle. And one or two began to trickle up the little path. And I marveled at it. And again the voice spoke and said, Son of man, speak into the grass of the field and command it to dry up, that there be no bread in the land. And I spake. And the people began to mill around and become very agitated. And again the voice said, Son of man, speak unto the people of the valley and command them this day to choose which path they will follow. And there began more to go up this wide path, and a few up the other. And again the voice said, Son of man, speak into the wells of the valley, and command the wells that they dry up, that there be no water in the land. And again I spake. And again the people were all agitated. And again he told me to speak to the people to choose, and I did. And a great rush of people started up the wide path. And just a little trickle line up the other. And as I was standing there marveling at this and wondering in myself what it was, the voice said again, Do you understand these things? I said, No. He said, Watch and see. And as I watched that great castle on that hill, on that mountain, began to, you know, have you ever seen, I know in Africa they have a lot of heat, and out in the west they have heat, and you see the heat waves, and things start to go like this and blurry. You've seen that, haven't you? Yeah, and you've seen it out in Nevada and Arizona and stuff. I've even seen it in Florida. But the heat, you know, it just began to go like that, and all of a sudden, that beautiful golden castle just kind of faded out, and in its place was this huge skull. And flame coming out of its mouth. And hell and death and pride were its banners. And this great mass of people were just walking in totally blind to what they were walking into. And I looked and beheld on the other one, and it faded out, and a little doorway opened, and I saw that little cave became a little tabernacle. And that tabernacle, when you looked through the tabernacle, was heaven. And I said, Lord, what does this mean? He said, the grass is the bread, my word. But the people have rejected my word, so I will take my word out of their mouths and out of their hearts, and their ears will not hear it. And they will choose another word. And the wells and the water is my spirit. They've rejected my spirit for another spirit, so I will give them other spirits. And they will follow other spirits. And they will go to hell. They will choose that which looks good in their eyes, and not discern with the Spirit that which is truly good. And I have watched this come to pass. And I've watched this thing happening over the years. And I've gone wherever, I've gone all over this country. And I've preached this, and I've spoken it, and nobody wants to hear it. They don't have ears to hear. I always wanted and hoped to have, to see the churches, the people in the churches, the buildings, the denominations, and whatever else you want to call them. I always wanted to see them get it right. And in many, many ways, the Lord showed me they won't. They can't. I've had some people come and say, gee, you don't have many people come to your meetings. I said, my tent's never empty. This tent is never empty. Every seat is filled. Every empty seat that you see is empty. An angel occupies. We were in Piedmont, Alabama. How many weeks? 2 weeks? 2 weeks. The first week, not one single person came to the tent. Not one. Not one. Is that right? The second week, I guess it was Wednesday, I prayed before the service. I said, Lord, if there is anybody in this town, anybody in this city, that is capable of hearing you, send that person here. And one lady showed up. One lady. And she was blessed. And she went home and brought her husband, and he was blessed, and he was healed, and he was saved. And you know what? It was worth it. I would rather preach and see one person come to Jesus Christ and walk in it than preach to 100,000, watch them come up to the altar, blubber, cry, moan and groan, and go home and never change. And yet that's what happens day after day after day after day. In churches all around the world, people go to the altar and pray over the same things every single week. Every week. Same sicknesses, the same illnesses, the same problems. Don't you know that all they really have to do is pray once and then walk in it by faith and receive it? What was it James said? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of faith, or let ask of God, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. There you go, praise God. Giveth to all men, doesn't say believers. You know, if you pay attention to the Word, there's some neat stuff in there. There's some neat things in the Word. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. You mean he gives it to that unbeliever out there? Yeah. Gives it to the drunkard? Yeah. Gives it to the drug addict? Yes. All men means what? All men. Well, gee, that's not fair. Here I go to church every Sunday, and I go to church every Sunday night and every Wednesday, and I tithe and I do all this, and God's going to give him the same thing he gives me. Yeah. You know, there are actually Christians that act that way. But it says, God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Doesn't hold it back. Doesn't put them down. Well, you're not good enough. Did you know that's what that means? Do you know what that means? Upbraideth not. You go to God and ask him for something, he's not going to say to you, you're not good enough. You don't deserve it. Now, I know that. And you know that. Somehow or another, God doesn't seem to know that. There you go. It's not in his nature. Say God can do anything. No, he can't. Can't lie. Amen? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, knowing this, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord. See, don't confuse receive with give. God gives, but the double-minded person can't receive it because they won't allow themselves to receive it. You need healing? Receive it. Receive it. Don't blame God if you don't get it. Don't blame God if you don't get healing. It's there. It's yours. When I met Ann back in 1976, she was a crippled, said she'd never walk again. They said she'd never be able to walk. Prayed for her and haven't been able to stop her since. She walks. I was blind. They said I'd never see again. I said, we'll see about that. I see. Praise God. Had no retinas. God fixed that. Did I go home and cry about it? I better tell the truth. My wife is here. She's in over there grinning. Couple times. I remember one time standing in church. This is what she was thinking of. I know her. We're standing in a church. I don't know whether some people came to do this to test me or what. But they brought this unbeliever in. Time out for the train. They brought an unbeliever in who was blind. And they told me, this guy's blind. Can you pray for him and him be healed? I said, yes. The guy says, Well, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, and I sure blankety blank believe in you. See, what they didn't realize, that was the best possible advantage for me. See, because if you're a believer, and I pray for you, you claim to be a believer, you've got to believe. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you say you believe in Jesus Christ, they'll put up or shut up. Amen? Say you believe in Jesus Christ, then believe. Now, if you believe in him, but you don't have a whole lot of faith, then you can do like that one man did in the Bible, say, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Amen? I've done that a couple times. But what they didn't realize when they brought this man in there that didn't believe, then it had nothing to do with his faith. It had to do only with my faith. And my faith was this boy was going to get healed come hell or high water. And I prayed, and he was healed, and he just could not believe it. He was amazed. And I said, now, Jesus Christ has been shown to you. What are you going to do about it? Deal with it. Now that guy could go off, and whatever happened was between him and God. Amen? What's this got to do with Matthew, Steve? Some people say nothing. It goes back to what I wanted. I wanted to see all these people believe. Lord, you know, if you go out here and you give me the power to heal people and raise the dead and cast out devils, they're going to believe. Makes sense, doesn't it? Amen? So we set up a revival in Harold Harbor. And God set the stage. And in the middle of this revival brought a mighty storm. And we didn't have a tent back then. All I had was a piece of plywood on the ground. And a metal microphone with a cord going to a metal PA system with holes in it. And all I could visualize is that rain hitting that PA system and me putting on a light show for the crowd. And being simple as I am and as I was, and knowing that in the circle there were people that believed, but we were surrounded by unbelievers that were laughing at us and jeering at us and calling us names. And I got mad. You ever do that? You ever get mad? People call you names and stuff. I got mad. And I said, Lord, let your judgment fall, but not here. And all of a sudden, the sky opened up like a donut above us. And the wind and the lightning and the wind was ripping around us in a circle. Dry as a bone here, pouring down rain right there. And the rain was pouring on these people and the wind and the lightning flashing around. And they all ran off, and I said, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that great? None of them believed. Not one of them. If I remember correctly, we moved over to a little building. And we preached in this little building. They called it the youth center. Is that right? And one night there was this lady. Back then, you know, you come here now, you come and I preach for an hour or two, you know, and you go home, praise God, hallelujah. Back then you come at 7:30 and I might finish at 2:00 in the morning. This one woman came day after day after day after day. And she had cancer. You remember this one? She had this or a thing on her head because she didn't have any hair. She had cancer. And I prayed for her. The Lord delivered her of the cancer. She went home that night. Came back next day all excited. During the night, she started growing hair. Remember who I'm talking about? Y'all, it was people you knew. And then one night, she came up to me and she said, Brother Richard, or Brother Davey, they call me there. Can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, I've come here for, 10 days now. And I've heard you preach hour after hour after hour. And I know that you're not memorizing it. And I know that you don't have notes. And you come in here and you preach every single night. Something different. How do you do it? How do you do it? I said, it's simple. I go in my closet and I pray in tongues. And when I'm done, I come out here and give you the interpretation. This is a woman out that had been there every night. She was convinced that I was of the Lord. Was healed of cancer, delivered of it. In the early night, started growing hair. And when I told her that, she said, well, I don't believe in tongues, and never came back again. She didn't die of cancer either. She died of a heart attack. God is a serious God. Matthew 13, Jesus tells a parable. We're going to find out what this has to do with what I'm talking about. Have you all done your homework and read in Matthew 13? I remember one night going out on the dock out there on the river, and I was whining and crying and moaning to the Lord. That was at that same meeting some guy wanted to shoot me with a shotgun. It was at the same meeting that they wanted to plant dynamite under the platform. And one of those guys involved with that was one of my relatives. Great people they were. And I went out on the dock and I whined and I cried and I moaned and I said, oh Lord, look at all that I go through for you. Anybody ever been there? Lord, I've served you and I come forth and I've traveled all this way without any support or any money, and I've come all this way and I preach and they want to shoot me and they want to hit me and they want to blow me up and I don't even have a decent PA system. I was having a grand pity party. And all of a sudden, there was a glow on the water. And I looked up, and the Lord began to speak to me. And his voice was not, oh, you poor thing. Let me pat you on the back and hug you and tell you what a great guy you are. That wasn't his voice at all. You know, his voice was kind of like that. Rebuked us for our hardness of heart and upbraided us for our unbelief. That's what he did. So what are you doing? Why are you sitting here crying like a little woman? I've called you to be a man, a little girl. Now stand up and go forth like a man and do battle. And then he showed me, and I don't remember the exact words, but he showed me how, you know, he never had a PA system. He didn't have a car to drive around in. He didn't have a tent. I had a whole lot more going for me physically than he did. You understand what I'm saying? Matthew 13, a sower went out for to sow. Is that what it says? A sower went out for to sow. What's that mean? A sower went out for to sow. Ooh, that hurt. Oh, Brother Davey, you got it in my eye. I want you to take a moment to look at the sower for a minute. We spend so much time paying attention to seed, especially when we're dumb enough to look at this idiot throw a seed at us and it gets us in the eye. Do you think that sower took time to care where the seed fell? No. To sow means you take that stuff and throw it. The sower was not concerned with where the seed fell. That wasn't his job. His job was to throw it. It took God 30 years to teach me that one thing. 30 years it took me to learn that one thing. Throw the seed and don't worry about the ground. That's my job. It ain't your job. You know what holds most people back? Worrying about what the ground thinks. Wondering what a bunch of dirt thinks about it. Puts a whole new meaning on dirt bag, doesn't it? You're just a dirt bag. What is it to me what you think? Especially you. Dirt, you come from. Is that right? This flesh is of the earth. It's dirt. You don't believe it's dirt? Take the spirit out of it and leave it lay on the ground for a little while. See what happens. It goes back to dirt. Is that right? Remember the cat sermon? Carrie used to like the cat sermon. You know, the old body's like the cat that you like. And the cat's a nice old cat, and you pet the cat, and the cat cuddles with you, and you love the cat. One day the cat up and dies. Totally unrespectful of it. Good for nothing cat. Here you go. You feed it and water it and take care of it all these years, and the stupid thing dies on you. And you love this cat, so you don't want to get rid of it, so you take it out in the backyard and you plant it. And because you don't want to lose where you put it, you leave its tail hanging out. Just the tail. You're up with me. You understand what I'm saying, right? Okay. What do you call a cat in Africana? A cot. That's what we call a cat after it's been in the ground for 2 weeks. If you love the Lord, say praise God. All right. So you go out one day and you're feeling lonely and you're feeling sad and you say, boy, I really miss my cat. You say, we go see how the old cat's doing. So you go out there and you get your shovel and you dig him up a little loose in the dirt and you grab him by the tail and you pull him out of the dirt. Yeah, that cat ain't looking so good. You know? That cat just doesn't look as good as it did the day I planted that cat. I'm not sure I want to hug up on this thing now or not. Let's put it back in the ground and see what happens. And put it back. And you go away. And you start getting lonely again. So you go and you dig up that old cat again. Now it's really in bad shape. I mean, the bones are showing, the flesh is all gooey and rotted, and the eyeballs are drooping out, hanging out. Pull that thing out. You poor kitty. I don't think I love you anymore. Huh? The thing is that you are that cat. You're the cat, but you don't realize it. So God has to take you out and plant you. And every once in a while, he puts a mirror in front of you so you can see yourself. Have you ever noticed that as hard as you try, somehow or another, you never can seem to really be that person you want to be for God? Has anybody here accomplished being what they want to be for God? I know I haven't. Now, you can go to some churches and go, oh, yes, praise God, hallelujah. I've accomplished all. Yes, I'm a holy, righteous, sanctified saint. God ain't never buried them. That's their problem. If God loves you, he's going to let you see yourself by his standards. And when you see yourself by his standards, you're like cat. Putrid. Ugly. But if you leave that cat in the ground long enough, guess what? Only thing left, you go pull the tail and just the tail comes up. Ooh. It's gone. Gone back to dirt. And the Lord showed me that if I am going to walk with him, if I'm going to serve him, let the cat die and stop worrying about it. It's made to go back to the ground. And nothing you can do can stop that. It doesn't make any difference, women, how much makeup you put on your faces. You can cake it on as thick as you want. You're getting older. And getting older means you're not going to be as pretty as you were when you were younger. So what? I love these hair commercials for men. All these guys running around wondering why, you know, wanting their hair to look good. The only reason I can think of men wanting their hair to look good is so some girl will think they look good. That's the only reason I can think of a man wanting his hair to look good. Huh? Personally, I don't care if anybody thinks my hair looks good. You know why? Because I don't care if anybody thinks I look good. You know why? Because she's already married to me and there ain't nothing she can do about it. Praise God. She can run, she can't hide. And I don't care what her hair looks like because I'm married to her and I can't do nothing about it. And if I could, I wouldn't anyway, so praise God. Are y'all beginning to see? The sower didn't care. And that's why he was able to sow. But as long as you're worried about your flesh, as long as you're worried about what this thing looks like and what other people think about it, you will never, ever, ever serve God. And if you ever get down into the hearts of people and look right down into their hearts, you'll see that every excuse they've got for not doing what the Bible says has nothing to do with God itself. It has to do with somebody else thinks. Well, I'm not going to tithe to that person because I just don't agree with it. Or I'm not going to go out and preach to that person because he's a heathen, or I'm not going to go and do that. You know, everybody's got their excuses, and none of it really has to do with God. It has to do with themselves. And then you have those that say, well, Lord, I'd love to go preach for you, but I'm afraid I might screw up. Anybody ever do that one? Anybody honest enough to raise their hands? I know I'm raising my hands not to see if you will. I'm raising my hands because I've done it. Oh, Lord, I'm so afraid I'll screw up. You know what the Lord says? Don't worry about it. You will. Many times. Why? Why do I have to screw up? Because you're not me. You're not God. You understand what I'm saying? Well, they may not think I'm smart. So what? You think the sower cared whether or not the ground thought he was smart or not? When you read that seed in the sower, you get the opinion that that sower threw the seed wherever it landed. Swallow rum. Some fell on the wayside. Sometimes you're going to throw out the seed, which is the word of God, and people aren't going to hear it because the devil's going to take it away from them before they get a chance. So what? Yeah. What's it to you? Think about this a minute. What's it to me if Jeannie thinks I'm a man of God? What's it to me? What's it to me if Jeannie thinks that what I preach is right or not? What's it to me? Because she thinks I'm a man of God, is that going to make me any better? Is it going to make me pretty? Is it going to grow a big full head of wavy hair and coming out here and I'll have to flip it back and do all kinds of things? That calls them, and it's his spirit that makes them understand. You're not the one to make them understand. He's the one that makes them understand. You understand what I'm saying? In fact, there's a place in Matthew 13, I think it is in 13, where they ask Jesus, why do you preach in parables? Why do you teach in parables? You remember that? Think of the answer there. Lest at any time they should hear with their ears and understand. See with their eyes and perceive. I'm paraphrasing this. And I should have to forgive them. Now, does that sound like the Jesus that everybody talks about? Let me put it in modern English. I preach to them in parables so that the idiots won't understand what I'm saying and they'll die and go to hell. Well, why would Jesus want to do that? Why would he say that? Because he has preached and preached and preached and preached. He sent his prophets. He sent his messengers. He sent his word. He sent everything, and they've rejected it all down the line. Now he's coming to make them give account. Now it's time to give account. That's why he refused to let them hear it. One, because he didn't love them. It was accounting time. And you know what? We're coming to that accounting time again. We are there. We have already arrived. His messengers have gone forth. And they're preaching that simple truth, that simple word. And many will reject it because they will not hear it. And they will be left behind. And I want to tell you something. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to walk with God, if you're going to do what God wants, you cannot care what the other person thinks. You cannot care about it. It'll shoot you down every time. It'll destroy you. And you will never accomplish anything. And when you meet God, He's going to let you know you didn't accomplish anything. The sower went forth to sow. He didn't go forth to judge the ground and examine it and see whether it was worthy of the seed. He just threw the seed. And wherever that seed landed was good enough for him. Some fell among the wayside, the birds of the air plucked it up. Some fell among the rocks. And it grew up, and anon the sun came up, withered and died. Some fell among the thorns, the weeds, which sprung up and choked it, that it could not bear fruit. Some fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, 60, 40, 100 fold. Close enough for jazz. Is that pretty close, what it says? Same seed. Same seed. Seed is the word of God. Therefore, you can't blame God for you not taking the seed. If you don't have the seed, and you're not taking the seed, and you're not growing in the seed, and the seed isn't growing in you, you cannot blame God. It's the same seed. That was the hardest one for me to swallow. It was the same seed that fell on the wayside, that fell on the rocks, that fell on the thorns, that fell on the good ground. Same seed. If you're not growing in the seed, you can't blame God. If the seed's not growing in you, you can't blame God. It's your fault. You can't blame the devil. It's not the devil's fault. I mean, I love blaming the devil, but blame him for what he's guilty of. It's amazing how people are quick to blame God for things and quick to blame the devils for things, but they somehow or another fail to blame themselves for anything. If you don't believe the word of God, it's something in you. Somebody read that first part where Jesus explains. Read me that first part there about the birds of the air and what it was. It says what? Steve? Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. Okay, that's all about it. Go ahead.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom.
All right, here's the word of the kingdom.
And understandeth it not.
Understands it not.
Then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside.
All right. Notice the word heart. The word sown in the heart. They don't understand it. They don't receive it. The devil has a right then to take it. See that? Let me show you another one. The seed that was sown among the rocks. Read it, Steve. There you go. How many times over the years I've seen people come to the Lord and say praise the Lord and hallelujah and joy, joy, and they walked for a season. But then when they started getting persecuted a little bit or things started coming against them, and they will come against you. Or if a sickness comes or somebody dies or something happens, what do? They blame God. God, why did you let this happen? If you really loved us, you wouldn't let this happen. And they become offended and they turn away. Now, I don't have, we don't have anybody like that in this tent, hopefully. Praise God. Amen? I wouldn't imagine them being here if that was the case. Huh? They may be a little burnt, but maybe they're not gone yet. Amen? All right. Let's go to the next one. There you go. This is the one that I want to talk about tonight. This is where most of you are right now. Most of you in this tent are in this group. Let's look at a couple words. First word I want to look at is care. Care. I'll pick on South Africa again. Do they ever, over there when you're in South Africa, do they ever come over to you and say, take care? They ever say that to you? Huh? You think somewhat? Oh, depends on what. But, you know, you get ready to leave and they say, take care now. Take care. Huh? And what is your normal answer? Okay, thank you. Same thing here. See, we're not so different. But see, care there in that sentence is a noun. Take is a verb. As a noun, the word care means fear, worry, mental anguish. And you wouldn't believe how many times I go down through around the country and somebody says, take care, and I say, no thanks. Well, why not? I said, I don't want that garbage. You can have it. I said, what are you talking about? So I explained it to him. Well, that's not what I mean. I said, that's what you said. God didn't create the heaven and earth by what he meant. He created it by what he said. Amen. He created man, not apes, that became men. Amen. God said, let us create man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That wasn't a bunch of monkeys swinging in a tree. Unless God's a monkey. That would make him a monkey's uncle. No, God spoke. And his word says the things you say are what you get. It also says when two or more shall establish or say a thing, it's established. Two or more speak a thing, it's established. You say, take care. I say, okay. We have got two people agreeing. According to God's word, a spiritual law is now in place. Look out, here comes the fear, here comes the worry, here comes the mental anguish, and you're going to have to deal with it. It's that simple, folks. It's bad enough that Satan tries to keep you down. Why do you help him? Get rid of the fear. Fear. I want to show you something. The Lord showed me this very clearly in a way that I could understand it. He said, the thing you fear is your God. You fear a thing, it's your God. You fear the government? The government's your God. Do you fear what your neighbor thinks of you? You've made a God out of that neighbor. Do you fear what the preacher thinks of you? You've made a God out of that preacher. Whether it be me or anybody else. Doesn't matter what I think of you. What matters is what God thinks of you. Huh? Doesn't matter whether somebody likes the way you clap your hands or not. Doesn't matter. It matters what God thinks. And many, 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 many Christians and many of you right here don't get done the things that your heart wants to do for the Lord because the cares of this world have kept you from going forth and doing it. I won't have enough money if I do that. I don't know enough to do that. I don't know enough of the Bible. I don't have proper training. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it if I did know what to say. They might not like me. They may not understand. They may not want to hear it. They may want to hear it but think I'm wrong. Who cares? I don't. Guy came to me in the tent one night, come up the tent drunk, and says, get on out of here, drunk. I don't want you here. He said, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, get on out of here and go to hell. Well, you're supposed to care about it. I don't care about you. Go to hell. Come back later on. I don't want to go to hell. Sometimes the best thing you can do for somebody is not care. You ever hear two Christians fight over doctrine? I have. You know what you got when you got two Christians fighting over doctrine? You got two people who don't believe what they're trying to convince the other one that they do think they believe so that they can get them to believe it so that maybe they can believe it and think they're right. You have to get Megan to translate that one for you. Right? Can you translate that?
She got it.
Oh, she got it. Hey, good. Half of these people can't get it. Look at that. Carrie's sitting over there. Look at me. Like, what's he going to do now? Throw his teeth across the tent? I might just do that just to get her all going. Here, Carrie. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, there was a time when I would have been horrified to talk about false teeth. I would have gone out of my way to keep people from knowing I had false teeth. I really would. I wore it. Years ago, I used to wear a three-piece suit so you wouldn't know I had a belly. Somehow or another, three-piece suit suck it in. Yeah. And then the coat hangs out right so you don't look so fat. Huh? Tell you the truth, if you can't hear what I got to say because I'm fat, then something's wrong. Something is wrong. You go to church to see a beautiful building and to hear beautiful music and to have all these people there, then you're not going for God. You're going for some other reason. You're going for yourself. You're going to be made to feel good. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm just like you. I like feeling good. Nothing wrong with feeling good. Okay? But if all that matters to you is feeling good, then there's something wrong with it. Sometimes doing that which God wants you to do doesn't always feel good. It's not always convenient. I remember preaching in a Pentecostal church one time and I was having a blast. You know, you want to get the Pentecostals excited, all you got to do is say something like, whoa, unto that sinner alcoholic, whoa, you're going to hell. They'll say, amen, hallelujah. Whoa, and to that prostitute, that harlot, she's going to hell. Oh, amen, brother, amen, praise God. Then I like to slip in that little secret weapon. Whoa, unto you who sits there and worries about how you're going to pay the electric bill. You're going to hell. Amen. And it gets real quiet. Got thrown out of that church, too. I told him, I said, there's no difference between the little bitty sitting in the front row wringing her hands because she can't pay electric bill and a prostitute out there. God puts them in the same barrel. There is no difference with God. Why did I say that? Because the Bible says anything that is not of faith is sin. And if you're worried about how you're going to pay electric bill, you're sinning. If you're worried about how you're going to do anything, you're sinning. If you're worried about how to preach the gospel, you're sinning. I used to do a lot of sinning. Now I just do a little sinning. At least that kind. Oh, I used to sit out there, my wife will tell you, I would go through torment, I would go through things nobody could even dream about before the tent service. I'd be just tore up, oh Lord, I just can't do this, I'm just so stupid, and I just don't know what to say. And he says, yeah, I know, go ahead and do it anyway. And you see, finally, I was free because it doesn't matter that I'm stupid. It doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter what other people think. The only thing that matters to me is what God thinks, and I want to please Him. I want to please the Father. I want to please the Son. I want to please the Holy Spirit. And I know the way to do that is stand and flap my tater trap, let Him pour it in so I can pour it out. And hopefully, He will see to it that there is some ground somewhere that will receive it and take it and do something with it. Now, one way you can serve God, and you don't have to be an apostle or a prophet or anything to do it, if you want to be serve God, how about becoming a weed eater? How about God's divine weed eater? I don't mean go out and eat weeds. Cut them down. You see somebody that's all worried about something, take that fear away from them. Take it away from them. You know, the sower goes out to sow, and he sows good seed. Amen. The preacher comes and sows weeds. Should have put that one in the parable. And along comes the preacher and sows weeds. Preachers have got to stop sowing weeds. Because the people, most of the weeds that people are choked by come from church. If you do this, God ain't going to love you. If you do that, God ain't going to love you. You can't love God if you do this. You can't love God if you do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. You got to do this. You can't do that. All of these things keep people so tied up, they don't do nothing. God could care less, ladies, if you wear a dress or wear slacks. He doesn't care, as long as your butt's covered. And frankly, I don't care either. I'd rather have your butt covered than not. I've been in some churches where you sit up there on a platform and the women, young girls sitting on the front seats, and you don't want to look that way. And I've had to actually take over to one of the guys and say, would you take your coat and give it to that poor girl? Her mother forgot to buy her the rest of that dress. Next week they'd come in clothed. You understand what I'm saying? Get rid of the fear. Get rid of the worry. It doesn't matter what somebody thinks of you. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you think of them either. Because you don't matter. Can any of you, by taking thought, change the color of your hair without Miss Clairol? Or a similitude of a substitute? Can I, by just saying, make my hair grow? No. So I guess it doesn't matter what I think, does it? I had a preacher come over one day and he says, I want to talk to you. I said, all right. I said, well, let's lay down the ground rules. He said, what are the ground rules? First of all, I don't care what you think. And I don't care what you know, think you know. And we're only going to go out of the King James Bible. Now, I don't expect you to care what I think. And I don't expect you to care what I think you think I think I know. And we will only go out of the King James Bible. He said, well, that's not right. I said, what do you mean? The only thing that matters is what God thinks. The Word is simple. You know, it doesn't matter what I think of the Word, and it doesn't matter what you think of the Word. It matters what God thinks of the Word. And what God says is what matters. And if you want to understand what God says, the first thing you have to do is stop caring about you. First thing you got to do is stop caring about you. You can't worry about whether or not somebody else believes you're a Christian. You can't worry about whether or not somebody else thinks you know anything. You can't worry about whether somebody's going to accept what you say. And let me tell you, if you really truly believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and really truly believe His Word, you'll never argue with anyone because it doesn't matter if they don't agree with you. The fastest way to know that somebody doesn't believe what they're saying is when they argue with somebody about it. When I hear Christians fight over doctrine, I know we got two unbelievers trying to convince the other one they're not. That's what you got. Do you find Jesus argue with anybody? When you read the scriptures, did He argue with anyone? He just flat told them and walked off. That was the name of it. He didn't have to prove anything. I know people that see people that are sick. And I would, oh Lord, I would sure love to pray for that person, but I just don't, I'm afraid if I try and they're not healed, they'll think bad of you. Liar. They're liars. Truth of the matter is, they don't care how God is going to get the end of that stick. They're caring about how they're going to get the end of that stick. I used to say that, Lord, I want to pray for that person, but I'm afraid if they're not healed, they're not going to trust you and like you. The real truth of the matter is, I was afraid they'd think I was a nut and they wouldn't like me anymore. Now I'll pray for anyone. I don't care. Somebody comes and say, pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you. And if you're healed, praise God, I'll rejoice with you. If you're not, I'll say, praise God. Rejoice by myself. And if you think I'm a nut, that's all right. Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. But whether I feel like a nut or don't feel like a nut, it doesn't matter. Amen? Am I making sense here? Somebody understanding what I'm saying here? It's not about you. It's not about what you feel. It's not about what you think. I had a preacher down in Massachusetts tell me, you don't make me feel good. I did the very Christian thing. I said, here's $20. Go buy yourself a prostitute. She'll make you feel tingle, tingle. Just don't try to tell me that's of God. You know, there are a lot of things in this world make you feel good that are not good. This flesh will lie to you. I've heard people get up in church and prophesy flat out falsehoods and lies, and people say, oh, I just felt the Spirit on that. No, you didn't, you stupid idiot. You felt a spirit, but not the Spirit. You don't get faith by trusting in your feelings. Faith comes by believing on the Word of God. When your feelings are screaming out against what the Word says, that's when you stand and that's when faith is grown. When your feelings say, if I do this, I'll die, then go do it. Praise God. Before I came up here, I was out in Texas, in the desert out there. And it's a weird feeling. Let me tell you, I would suggest every Christian do this at least one time. Go get out in the desert without any cell phones. No telephone communications. No transportation. No people. Nothing but the lizards and the jackrabbits and the buzzards. Get out there in the desert and be alone, where it's only you and God. And you know, if something happens, it better be you and God. That is a weird feeling. It's a weird feeling. You realize if something happens to you, you can't call 911. You can't call your neighbor. You can't call your mommy. You can't call your daddy. You can't expect, it may be 10, 20 days before anybody comes by you. By that way, you'd have already made lunch for a few critters. And all of a sudden you realize that, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's me and God. And if I die, I go to be with God. And if I don't die, well, I'll walk with God by faith until I can be with God. It doesn't matter. Anybody understanding me? We've got a lady here from South Africa. Comes from some people over there. Right now, their heads are spinning. They don't know what's going on. They don't know where they stand. You correct me if I'm wrong. God, why are you letting this happen to us? What's going on in our country? What's happening with us? They've come through a judgment. They're a very prideful, self-righteous people. If you're not one of them, you're not a Christian. The Lord didn't show me that. He did. He told me that. He's a tattletale. Some of that I already knew about, though. You know, that's not unlike some other denominations around here. If you don't belong to our church, you're not saved. Thank God. It has nothing to do with the church. It has to do with Jesus. Do you know why you're here? You know God sent you here. And you know you want to serve Him. You just don't know how. You think you know how, but you really don't know how. You know what God's got planned for you? Should I tell her? You're going to be part of a revival that's going to take place among your own people. The Dutch Reformed Church. You're going to give them an opportunity to come to know the living Jesus Christ and to become the people that God wants them to be and have the love one for another and not be the inclusive little dead garbage shell that they are, but become the living trees and examples for God to bless and bless others with. That's what He's got for you if you'll take it. Soak up everything you can soak up from the Lord. Use this time to receive everything you can receive from Him. And when you go back, you are not going to be the same person. That's what God's got for you. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. And people that know me long enough know that I didn't say that because I want you to like me. If it was the opposite, I'd have told you that too. But it's what the Lord showed me. See, we are at that time, and we're not done with Matthew. There's a lot of Matthew we're going to be studying over the next week. But we're at that time where God is bringing that judgment. We're in the second Passover now, folks. We're in the second Passover. And if God doesn't see the blood, there's going to stink to be you. Jesus was the Passover lamb. And everybody hears about Passover. Oh, yes, Jesus showed us the Passover lamb and how the blood had to be put on the doorpost and the lintel. And when the angel of death came over that night, If they didn't have the blood, the firstborn was killed. Amen. Praise God. They forget. They turn around and say, oh, hallelujah, Jesus is our Passover lamb. Well, you better look out. If he's the Passover lamb, the death angel's soon to follow. You can't have one without the other. And when he sends his angels through to judge, he better find the mark, the blood. And if he doesn't see the mark, the blood on the doorposts and lintels of your heart, that which you have will be taken. We're not talking about people dropping dead in the streets. We're talking about those Christians. We're talking about the church now. We're talking about those who call themselves Christians. We're talking about those who say they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When he brings his angels through, if they receive not, if they have not that mark, they will be stripped of everything they have. And they will go into full delusion. Full delusion. Because the coming of the Lord is soon. It's at the doorsteps. There are walls around you. We talk about walls around the world and walls between churches. Forget all those things. They're nothing. The wall around you and your heart is the one that has to be broken. And it can be broken if you will humble yourself before the Lord and get rid of that pride, because that wall, listen to me, the wall is pride. That's the name of that wall. And it's that pride that makes you care about what people think of you. It's that pride that makes you fear about what to do and what not to do. It's the pride that keeps you from serving God. And it's all that pride is the fertilizer that makes the weeds grow. And you got to get rid of those weeds if you're going to produce fruit. And the final one was that some fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit 40, 60, 100 fold. Dirt that's dead makes good plants. And it is the law of God that if you take a cat and bury it in the ground, it's going to look ugly after a while. That's the law of God. It's called the law of thermodynamics. And this flesh started dying the moment you were born because of the sin of Adam. And because of Adam's sin, it's passed on by the fathers from generation to generation. You know how Eve was able to have Jesus and Jesus be without sin? Because women cannot pass sin. It's only passed by the fathers. It's only passed through the blood. Now watch this. Fathers, fathers to be, fathers that were, fathers that could be or want to be. You love your children. You care whether they're healthy. You care whether they're blessed. Break the curse. Break the curse. Break the curse. How do you break the curse? By giving yourself wholly to Jesus Christ and obeying him, even if it hurts. You love your wives. You want to see your wives healthy. You want to see your wives blessed. Break the curse. Break the curse. They can't break it. Only you can. Only you can. I will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the children of the third, fourth generation of them that hate me. Doesn't say mothers, says fathers. Amen? The word hate means does not put me first. Fathers wondering why your wives are, your husbands wonder why your wives are sick, or why your children are sick, or why things aren't working right in your lives. What matters more to you? Pleasing God or pleasing yourself? Doesn't matter to me what you think. Doesn't matter to me one bit. Doesn't matter to me if you like what I have to say or don't like what I have to say. It ain't my wife, and I ain't got to live with it. Praise God. That's the one I got to live with right there. And if she's sick, it ain't going to be because of me. Is that fair enough? If she gets sick, first thing I'm going to do is go, Lord, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to change? Does not the Word of God say the man is the covering for the woman? Right now we're in this tent. Amen? It's a covering. Are you getting wet right now? No. But if you go outside and get wet, don't cry at me because you're getting wet. You're too stupid to come inside. Stay out there and get wet. Amen? And if a man is doing all that he's supposed to do in the Lord and he's doing right, he is a covering. Now, if the woman refuses to come under it, praise God, she's going to stand out there and get wet. That's not his fault. But if she is standing under him and he's out in the rain, she's going to get rain too. Amen? That's just the way it is. This is the kind of stuff we don't like to hear, but it's the truth. I tried to find a way around it for years. I tried to find a way around that. And I couldn't do it. I could not do it. So I stopped. And I say, Lord, you are blessed. You are righteous. You are holy. I agree with what you say. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to agree with it and I'm going to walk. Get rid of the cares. Get rid of the pride. I'll harp on this and harp on it and harp on it and harp on it and harp on it. Oh yeah, I know. I could probably preach about drinking and drug addiction and all this other stuff, but I want to tell you something. Drug addiction isn't killing the church. Drunkenness is not killing the church. Even devil worship isn't killing the church. What's killing the church is the pride. The pride. The vanity. Caring about what people think of you and not about what God thinks about you. What will they say if? Who cares? I have a saying that I use a lot. Is there a flashlight here somewhere? I have a saying. Shine it on. You got a flashlight? Give me that light there, John. Show me that light. Is that a short cord?
That's a short cord.
That's a short cord. All right. I'll do it from here. All right. Y'all see that light? What's it doing? Shining on the curtain, right? What's the curtain think about that? Nothing. has no effect on that curtain one bit, does it? Shine it on. If you're dead, if you're dead to this world, then anything this world has can't affect you. If you're dead to the world, then what the world thinks of you can't affect you. Psalm 27. There's a place in there where David says, I would have fainted. That means given up. If I didn't believe in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Is that pretty close to what it says? This, folks, is not the land of the living. This is the land of the dead. You know, it took me years to understand that when, you know, I thought that was weird, you know, when Jesus said to that rich guy, go let the dead bury the dead. Now, how can a dead person bury a dead person? Can one corpse bury another corpse? As far as God's concerned, it can. See, to God, this earth is dead. To God, everybody on this planet is dead unless they're born again by His Spirit. You see what I'm saying? And that this is the land of the dead, but heaven is the land of the living. And David was saying he would have given up, he would have quit if he didn't believe in the goodness of God in His kingdom. And that he'd get to see it. And you know, I can relate. There have been times I've wanted to give up. There's times I've wanted to quit. And it was all about me. But I came to that place where I believed in the goodness of the Lord in His kingdom, and I'm going to see it. And it don't matter to me what I see here. It doesn't matter. Become as the sides of the tent when the light shines on it. Whether it's there or whether it doesn't matter. If people say you're good, it doesn't matter. If people say you're bad, it doesn't matter. If people say to you, oh, you did such a great job, it should be no different to you than if they said, oh, you did a rotten job. Emotionally, there should be no difference in you. Now, finding out how to get there is easy. Doing it ain't so easy. Because to do it, you have to die. Now, I'm going to throw a little crumb out here. It'll never fully be accomplished till you die physically and go to heaven. It'll never totally be accomplished as long as you're in this flesh. But you don't have to pay attention to this flesh. You don't have to accept what it says. When it says you're not good enough,